the last week of your life before you went to the cross. And I thank you, Father God, that we're privileged to be here in this place today and listening on Zoom, and that you would speak to your people and that you would help us to open our hearts and hear what the word of the Lord is saying today. And I commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we said, it's Palm Sunday today, and Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. That's what the people sang. And, you know, typically on the church calendar, we call it Palm Sunday. It's the week preceding Easter, also known as Passion Week, which we don't really, I don't really use that term. But it begins, the week begins with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And here is my donkey. He's pretty useful. He comes at Christmas as well, doesn't he? Okay. Now, some interesting statistics about the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, okay? They're the four Gospels. Almost half the book of John is dedicated to the last week of Jesus' life on earth. The book of Matthew gives about two-fifths to the last week of Jesus. Luke gives about a third. And today I'm going to read the scriptures through the book of Mark. Because when you consider all that Jesus did in his 3 years of ministry, it's remarkable that they devote a third of the gospel to the last week of Jesus' life. Very interesting, isn't it? It just goes to show how important this week was, because they go into so much deep attention of this week. So we're going to read Mark 11, 1 to 10. We're going to go through a few verses at a time. So we start at verse 1, Mark chapter 11, verse 1. That one's not on, but here we go. Palm Sunday, okay. So we got the scripture, yep. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage, I think that's how you say it, and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. So Jesus and his disciples had been on a journey. They were coming back from Galilee towards Jerusalem, and they arrived at these towns, Bethphage and Bethany, which was on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, just over the hill from Jerusalem. And at this point, Jesus stops and he calls upon two of the unnamed disciples. He doesn't say who they are, and he sends them to a village, which he doesn't say the name of either, on this little mission. And he said to them, as soon as you enter the village, you're going to find a donkey tied up, which nobody has ever ridden. You're to untie the donkey and bring it back to me. And if anyone asks, just say the Lord needs it and we'll bring it back. Well, why is this significant? It's quite detailed here. The instructions were very detailed. Why was he even borrowing the donkey? And how did Jesus know that it was even going to be there in that spot? These are all good questions, and I'm sure the disciples would have scratched their heads too. You see, a pilgrim is a person who journeys to a sacred place for religious reasons. And when a pilgrim approached Jerusalem, or just anybody, they rarely, if ever, rode in. They walked into Jerusalem on their own steam. Only kings rode in. And so this request to fetch the donkey may have seemed odd, but the answer is simple. Jesus knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was. He was the Messiah and he was the king. And he knew it because only kings rode in. So this is a time when he's humbly exerting his authority and saying who he was. How did he know the donkey was going to be in that exact place? Well, in the Old Testament, there were many prophecies about the Messiah coming, and people would look forward to these prophecies, and they would look forward to the coming. They would look forward to the promised one. And God would tell them things so that they would recognize when it happened and it would fulfill what God had foretold. One of those prophecies is in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, which says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey." That's Jesus. That's the guy. He's not a pilgrim. He's not just anybody walking into Jerusalem, not a tourist taking photos. No, he is the king. He is the Messiah, the saviour of the world. And he was supposed to go in on a donkey because it had been prophesied. It had been spoken all those years ago. And so he sent out his disciples for the donkey. And because what Jesus was doing in this last week was so sacred, it had to be a donkey that no one had ever ridden. In other words, it was unbroken, like a colt. A colt is a young donkey or a young horse, and it is not broken in. No one's ever ridden it. And it wasn't like Jesus didn't like used donkeys. The issue was here that in the Old Testament, if you were bringing an animal in for sacrifice, that animal could not have already been yoked or linked or used, one of those words. It had to be a new animal that had not yet been used in any other way. So in this case, the donkey had to be unbroken. Because Jesus was not just coming as the saviour, he was coming as a sacrifice. And so he had to fulfil all this prophecy. And when you look at the little meanings behind it all, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because Jesus was the sacrifice and he needed this donkey that was unbroken. And because he recognised himself as the king, it was his prerogative, because back then kings and high government officials had the right to borrow anybody or anything at any time. They would just say, "I'm going to use that, I'll bring it back later, give it to me," and they did. And so Jesus had that authority, and I think that's why he said, "If anyone asks, tell them the Lord needs it." And for one of the first times in the Gospel of Mark, he actually goes public when he says, "If anyone asks, say the Lord needs it." He's now saying that he's the Lord, and he's putting it out there, which he didn't do very often, did he? Imagine this donkey. This donkey would carry the Son of God on its back, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy while he was being led into Jerusalem. I reckon that donkey just pranced right in, feeling pretty special. Then let's look at verse 4 of Mark chapter 11. The two disciples left and found the colt, remember the colt, a male donkey, standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. And Mark writes this in a way to emphasise the accuracy of the words that Jesus had said and what the disciples experienced. Literally every detail, down to the smallest point, happened just as God said and foretold that it would be. It was like, go and they went. Find and they found. And it just happened accurately as Jesus said it would. Let's go down to verse 7. And then they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their clothes on it and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road and others cut down the leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when the disciples had come back with the donkey, there was no saddle or anything like that. They took off their clothes, their cloaks, whatever, and they sort of made it soft on the back of the donkey for Jesus as they began to travel. And what is profound following is a spontaneous outpouring of praise. Hosanna in the highest. It's like the New Testament equivalent of rolling out the carpet. And by the way, kings rode donkeys in times of peace. That donkey was considered an animal of peace. So who was in the crowd? Well, the crowd was a group of religious people. They were in Jerusalem for a religious festival, the festival of the Passover. They made the journey every year. They took the same route every year for this festival. But they cut down branches and they put cloaks down, which was what they used to do for kings. And that's where we get the Palm Sunday. We get the palms. They laid them down for the donkey to walk upon was carrying Jesus. This is the first time that Israel acknowledged that he was the king. And in so doing, they recognised he was also the Messiah, the Saviour. This was the contingent of praise that day, and they began to sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Now, we sing Hosanna, and we know it, but do you know what Hosanna actually means? Not praise him, we would think that. It means save now. That's what they were saying. Save now. Save now. Hosanna. And this is exactly what they were saying. And it says here also in Psalm 118, "Save now, I pray." So this is back in the Old Testament. Coming into new, they're saying Hosanna. So, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." They're bringing the economy into it. Verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." They're crying, "Save me." This is not only affecting us, but it's affecting the economy. This is exactly where we are as a nation now. Save me. Save us from what's happening out there right now. And Jesus is coming on the donkey and they're crying out, "Save me. Save me. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now remember, they were there to celebrate Passover. The Passover is when the Jewish people got together and they remembered that they'd been liberated from slavery in Egypt. But now on this day in Jerusalem, they were not under the Egyptians any longer, but they were still very much enslaved, but this time under a Roman occupation. And so they looked to Jesus to save them. And it's true, isn't it? Jesus did come to save, but he did not come to save them from the Romans. He came to save them from their sin. They thought he was coming to save them and set up a new earthly kingdom right there and then. And on the contrary, he was actually coming to die. In the Gospel of John, John himself, a disciple, in chapter 12, he just says, even on that day, the disciples did not recognize the significance of that day. Have you ever looked back on a situation that's happened in your life and you think, wow, I didn't realize how significant that was? And they look back, they did not understand the significance. Praise God, it's all been done for us. It's actually easy for us. They saw, but they didn't recognize. And Jesus wanted them to know with clarity that he was the Messiah and that he was going to give his life for them, and he does for us, and he did for us. And that's what they couldn't see. So Jesus came into this world because we were dead in our sin and we needed a Saviour. And we have to acknowledge that. Do you acknowledge that you need a Saviour today? They seemed all in, you know, they were all in. But they were missing the most important thing. You know, we sing and we serve, but some of us don't actually see. And Jesus did not simply come that we could have somewhere to turn to when we were down. He didn't come so that if we trusted him, he would do good things for us. He didn't come so that I'd be happy in this world gone crazy. The disciples were making Jesus, they wanted him to be. They had this thought of who they wanted him to be, and he didn't match up to that. That's not who he was. And sometimes we do the same. We expect that he's going to do this for us or do that or do it our way. And we want him to be who we want him to be. And sometimes we don't see him clearly of who he is. I wonder whether we just need to confess him as your Lord and Saviour, recognising him for who he is, not for who you want him to be, and acknowledge that we've all fallen short and we need help. We need him to save us. Have you confessed him as your Lord? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? Are you seeking to live the life that he has called you to? Because you know that he is not just some guy, not just some pilgrim or tourist, but a saviour. He is your saviour. And your entire life and future rests on him. And most people in our culture would agree that Jesus died on the cross. Most people will agree with you there. That's not the profound part. We struggle with the opposite thing of confessing him as our saviour. Confessing that we need a saviour. They knew he was the Messiah and the saviour, but they didn't even believe that he was going to die. We know he died, but everyone believes that he died, and that's okay to save them. But do you believe he died for you? For you and you personally. He died for you. We hear it, Jesus died on the cross. But have you grasped the concept that he died for you personally? And that changes everything. Because when I think of my life and the things that I've done and where I've come from and what I've been through, and to think that he did that just for me makes me love him so much more when I understand and when I see what he's done for me. He did it for me and he'll do it for you. He knew who he was, remember that, and he laid himself down. But they missed it back then. And I have no idea when, but I know one day Jesus will return. He won't be riding on a donkey though next time. He'll be coming on a horse. It tells us in Revelations that he's going to come back on a horse. He's going to come to judge the world. He is the sovereign God of the universe. And he will return in glory. And we who are in Christ will be changed in the blink of an eye. And what's so beautiful to me is that we can already see it. It's in the Word. We can see it. We've got to believe it. And I hope that you see it too, of what Jesus came to do in this last week. Something so simple, but yet so freeing. He came to save us. He came to save us. So when it puts a whole new concept on that word Hosanna, doesn't it? Because when I want to praise him and I, you know, hallelujah and Hosanna, save now, it means save now. So thank you. We just had a short message today. And I encourage you to read the rest of the story, the rest of the week. A lot happened in this week. A lot happened in this week. And the Gospels give a lot of time and a lot of detail to what happened in the week. So, Father, let's just pray. Father God, right now, we acknowledge that you are a king. You are our king. You're the Messiah and the Saviour of the world. And Father, I pray that you would remind your people that you come to save them personally. You came to die personally for each and every one of us, that we would be delivered and set free and saved and sanctified and redeemed and on our way to heaven. I thank you, Father, that you took all that upon yourself. You took our sin and you nailed them to the cross that day. And it just doesn't seem enough words to say how grateful and how thankful we are. And I just praise you, Lord, of what you're doing in the hearts and the lives of your people as we recognise this week, this holy week, as we come and remember what you did for us. And I thank you for this message, that it would just resonate in people's hearts today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.